Hi there. Kel Weinhold from The Professor is In, inviting you to join us in a private conversation. What does that mean? That means that if you are a member of our premium community, you get to talk to us. We have a private social network. We have podcasts for just members. We have a whole bunch of Facebook Lives and webinars and all sorts of things that you have access to. So it's a little bit more intimate conversation than we typically have on Twitter and Facebook around the podcast, though we also welcome you to do that. So head on over to the Himalaya app, download it there, download the Himalaya app, meet us there, $4.99 a month. We'd love to see you.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Karen Kelski of The Professor is In, and as always, I'm very glad you're here with us today.
And I'm Kel Weinhold, also of The Professor is In, also glad that you're here today.
So this is an unusual episode because we're recording it on Tuesday, the very day it's supposed to go up. That speaks to a number of different issues. One of them being that we were delayed in approving the previously recorded episode, but then once I went to approve it, I realized that and discussing it with Kel, we both were unhappy with the idea of putting up content this week that is not responsive to the crisis that is engulfing America, specifically around Black Lives Matter and police brutality against Black bodies. And there was just nothing that we felt like we could talk about that was valuable this week, except to participate in the call to amplify Black voices. And so we are following the hashtag #AmplifyMelanatedVoices. And we are going to take today's episode just to share with you a series of Black scholars that we learn from every single day and their Twitter handles.
And before we go on with that, I want to take a minute. Karen, you said something that I saw a black man comment on it on Twitter, and I think it's worth just bringing up the conversation. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Stop calling us black bodies." Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, wow, I picked that up from some academic language at some point and started using it. And then as I read that, I thought, of course, because it does what it does. It continues to separate Black people from their humanity. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's interesting to complicate. You were just absolutely talking about police and Black bodies. And I think that it's important that we constantly, well, I mean, it fits in the theme that we're trying to talk about today, right? Mm-hmm. Is to sit and read and listen and put in front of your face intentionally mm-hmm. multiple voices so you can actually start to learn something so that you're going along and say, oh, mm-hmm. here's a thought.
Right.
I should, oh, okay. All right. And the, oh, okay. By the way, white people, I would really love your response to be, oh, okay, instead of, could you explain that to me a little more fully?
Or, that's not what I meant. Right. Or, you're oversensitive. Or, right. Why does everything have to be about race? Or, on. I'm not going to rehearse all the white fragility responses. But, yeah.
Because we're not going to center white people right now.
No, we sure aren't. I just wanted to bring that up. I am so glad you did. I really appreciate that. And I actually just went on a rant on Facebook that I don't even think you've seen yet. Not on Professor Zan. It's on my personal page. About why white people should or have the capacity to go on Twitter and to follow, you know, so much Black excellence right there on Twitter, and so many accounts that are tweeting every single day, mm-hmm. and in dialogue with one another every single day, mm-hmm. and it is like an encyclopedia unfolding. That, you know, as white people who are constantly going around bleating, you know, the way sheep do, what can I do? But how can I learn? Oh, I don't know, but I don't know. How will I know? Oh, my town is so white. You can educate yourself for free. It's like a graduate education in things that Black folks are saying and experiencing.
Right.
And in real time. In real time. That's the thing about Twitter is if a thing happens, it is on Twitter within 10 seconds of it happening. And that's why. And that's why I think I'm doing another Karen digression.
Well, what I'm worried about is that we're sort of that I want to find the fine line here, right? Mm-hmm. I want to speak to our predominantly our audience is white women, right? We have a lot of white women academics. Sure. We have a lot of Black, Indigenous, and people of color who follow us as well.
Yes.
So part of I feel like our responsibility is to speak to those white people as advocates and say that. And I'm always trying to find that fine line of, have we just centered the white perspective again?
For sure.
So if we're saying white people are saying my mom, it's like, okay, I don't want to talk about white people anymore.
No, for sure. That's
and so true. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm saying that I guess what I'm trying to do in some ways is give people my interior thinking about this so mm-hmm. I can model that you have to keep pulling this stuff apart. You mm-hmm. have to keep looking at your instinct and say, why am I doing that? How am I doing that? Mm-hmm. Like one of the things of Amplify Melanated Voices, one of the requests is to actually mute white accounts right now. Mm-hmm. Like to go in for this entire week and hit mute, which mm-hmm. you can do in Instagram, right? You can say mute. You can go into Twitter and say mute. Mm-hmm. And then examine for yourself your reactions to saying, I'm going to mute those voices right now.
Yeah, that's great. And yet also not to just make a big show of blacking out your Instagram account and then using the hashtags Black Lives Matter and then having this kind of performative wokeness
What are you going to do next?
The activist value of the hashtag because now it's a bunch of black empty screens.
Right. And then people just are, by the end of this day, hopefully that there's a big pushback against that. So, mm-hmm. which then to sort of move on, first of all, you know that my true memory deficit is how much trouble I have recalling people's names.
Yes.
People just have a terrible time. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible thing for someone who considers themselves an intellectual to not be able to cite my source. Mm-hmm. So right now I am having a really hard time pulling up the Instagram handles of the two women who started Amplify Melanated Voices. Mm-hmm. So as we're talking about this, I'm going to find it because we put it on Twitter earlier today. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure we give credit to about hashtag cite black women, right?
Goodness.
Yes. I don't want to be in this case and we're like, let's talk about this thing and then not give credit. So mm-hmm. that's going to come in a little bit later as we keep talking and I have my computer in front of me and mm-hmm. I'm trying to get to our Twitter page so we can rightfully cite where this came from.
Okay. It's on Facebook too.
Okay. Anyway, so moving along, what I was about to say was that conversation about what went south with the black screens today was really pushed and brought into consciousness by one of the people that I have so much respect for mm-hmm. and I have learned so much from, who is Brittany Packnett. Now, Brittany Packnett Cunningham, who is Ms. Pacchietti on all social mm-hmm. networks on Twitter.
And that is spelled MSPACKYETTI. That's on Twitter. And by the way, we are going to put all of these handles in the description of this episode.
Yes. So please look at them. But I started following her several years ago. She's mm-hmm. one of the people coming out of the Ferguson uprising. She worked with Obama. She is just been such an amazing source of education for me, not just sitting there and watching, like mm-hmm. sitting there and following her and saying, and just tremendous gratitude for her willingness to put the conversation out there.
Well,
just to be clear, she's not there to educate me. I'm just taking advantage of it.
Let me just say, because we did move quickly on from my talking about the value of following black accounts on Twitter, a very, very important thing, and I don't want to move on without saying this, is if you are a white person and you follow the accounts that we're going to talk about, please understand that it is not your place to then reply or comment on the conversations that are happening there in the vast, overwhelming majority of cases. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say always, because there may be exceptions where you are actually asked as a white person for your opinion, but basically, no, these are not for us as white people, but they are conversations that as white people who want to be accomplices and co-conspirators, as the terms are, and not just be moving beyond allies, this is how we can find out what action is going to be most helpful, rather than the, you know, generic virtue signaling or good intentions that we might walk around announcing to our white friends. So please, if you do this, and we want you to follow accounts and educate yourself, please don't push your white self into the conversations that you discover going on there.
Right. And so with that said, we're going to try to sort of, you know, us, right? We won't stay on. I kept saying to Karen, could we group people? Could we put some kind of order to this? Can we talk about it? She's like, no, we're just going to talk about it. You know, we'll think of like, oh yeah, I learned this. So we're not following a pattern. So the only pattern that I asked for, and of course I already blew it by bringing up Brittany Peckett Cunningham,
yeah,
is that I said, could we at least start with the people that we work with?
Uh-huh.
Like we actually work and collaborate with. And mm-hmm. she said, sure. And then I instantly yes. blew that little thing.
This
so
is how we are.
So there we go. So let's start off with two people that maybe more than following, and certainly I'd love you to follow them, but I want you to, mostly I want you to engage with them and their incredible expertise. And the first one is Dr. Jane Jones from Up In Consulting. And she is, you have all the handles there in front of you if you want to say what her Twitter handle is.
I am sorry to say I did not capture hers.
Because we talk to Jane all the time.
Because we talk to Jane all the time, so I wasn't thinking about her as a generic Twitter.
Her Twitter handle is Jane Joanne, as in J-O-A-N-N, so Jane Joanne on Twitter. And she runs Up In Consulting. She is a developmental editor.
She's a sociologist by training.
She is is the editing force behind our program, The Art of the Article. It is all of her expertise that informs that. I'm merely there, as she calls me, the gremlin tamer, but she's really the person who has done the who did the heavy lifting in terms of really explaining how to do articles. And I just want to give a shout out to her other project that I think you all should pay attention to, is her project Elevate, which is a book writing program that I think there's not another round of it until maybe this summer or this fall, but you should definitely go to Up In Consulting and check that out, because it's really hard to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
She has a whole program as a developmental editor to walk you through that process.
Oh, so that's great. I didn't know she was doing that.
Yeah, and she has a blog and she has all that stuff.
Yeah,
so go find out about writing from her.
Mm-hmm. And then Professor Roxanne Donovan, who with her colleague, Dr. Joycelyn Moody, runs Well Academic, which is a coaching program for scholar women of color in the academy, especially Black women, to basically increase wellness. I mean, the name says it all, Well Academic. Basically, how can you confront the constant micro and macro aggressions with which you are confronted on a daily basis and thrive, survive and even thrive. We love Roxanne on Twitter. She is ProfRox, P-R-O-F-R-O-X, ProfRox. And you can follow her absolutely spectacular work there.
You can also look back in the podcasts, and if I had the number in front of me, I'd tell you, but we did a podcast with Roxanne and discussed mm-hmm. all of many of the challenges facing women of color in the academy. And we had planned, we were working all together to plan a retreat,
mm-hmm.
an academic writing
right.
and productivity retreat to start in June.
That's right.
And
in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. And
we were pretty well along on that plan.
Yep.
We even, yeah, wow. Oh my gosh. I had actually forgotten about that.
Right, that's the whole collaboration part. Right? You forgot about the fact.
Well, I knew I hadn't forgotten the podcast. I had forgotten.
No, but I mean, we actually had a collaboration planned with her, and that will come back. Mm-hmm. But so those are the two people that we work with, and we like you to pay attention to what they're doing, and just want to make sure that they are that we amplify their work. And just to get back to it, just so I know that I'm citing people appropriately, just to make sure that I cite my sources, the two women who came up with the idea of amplify melanated voices, their Instagram hashtags are jessicawilson.msrd and black and embodied. So at jessicawilson.msrd and at black and embodied are the two Instagram sources that came up with the entire idea. So credit where credit is due.
Yep. All right. Well, on the subject of citing people successfully, there is a hashtag called Cite a Sista and another one called Sister PhD that were created by Dr. Brittany Williams. And that is somebody... she is somebody who I follow really closely and constantly learn a lot from. And you can, and as she says in her pinned tweet, hello, new tweeple. Thanks for the follow. I often discuss all things Black women's empowerment, higher education, social class, travel, and politics. I heart spirited debate so long as it's not rooted in my oppression. So find her at Dr. Britt Williams. That's DrBrittWillams. Or, and for those of you who may not be super comfortable on Twitter, and I know I have a feeling some of you aren't, you can also use hashtags as shortcuts to get to the content that you're trying to find. And so the that's why... hashtags are so great. And so if you just put in the search box on Twitter the hashtag Cite a Sista or Sister PhD, you're going to find other accounts who are engaging along those lines. And that's going to quickly open a window to you onto many, many other accounts that you might find informative.
And you can also do the same thing with Cite Black Women, the hashtag Cite Black Women, which will bring up for you just an unending stream of work written by Black women that you in your field can then start paying attention to and start making sure you're citing to make sure, because we know because of systemic racism, we know because of the erasure of Black women that Black women are not cited to the level of the work that's out there.
Right.
So along those lines, someone who is cited widely and rightly so, and I absolutely adore her Twitter feed because it is so broad from how to buy a house to, I think it's house hunters that she follows, but it's also looking at, you know, the economics of higher education and then, you know, food and what are you people doing? And the whole thing is just marvelous. So Tressie McMillan Cotton is just on every level, so there's so much to be gained. And those of you who are in the academy, her understanding and engagement with and discussion of the academy and what's going on with it is just amazing. And she's at Tressie, T-R-E-S-S-I-E, McPhD, which is M-C-P-H-D. And I love that, Tressie McPhD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's fantastic. And she is the author of Thick, the book Thick, which is a stunning series of essays that, you know, takes the experience of a Black woman coming up in the academy, but goes so much further than that, so much further to talk about the ways that Black women as embodied beings are assaulted and, you know, pressed from so many sides and the ways that she has navigated that. It's and her writing is spectacular. But she's also the author, prior to that, of Lower Ed, which was an amazing scholarly account of the for-profit higher ed industry and how it targets Black people and Black women in particular.
Yeah, that book, if you know, that's one of those books. like the warmth of other suns, mm-hmm. that you should just read so you actually understand a whole force at play.
Yeah.
You know, that like, wait a minute, this is so much bigger and so much more. It deeply, deeply affects the U.S. economy, U.S. education, U.S. everything, and people's trajectories or lack thereof.
Right.
So just, oh.
Right, yeah. And so one of Tressie's greatest collaborators, as far as I know, I'm not an expert in everything that Dr. McMillan Cottam does, but certainly she, one of her greatest and most visible collaborators is Dr. Roxane Gay, who is very famous.
Yeah, so
and needs no introduction from the likes of me.
From the likes of us. If you don't know who Roxane Gay is, I can't help you.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this much that you should know about Roxane Gay.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you just can't go through everything brilliant that she's written. Her book, Hunger, continues to resonate in my life and in my body. She, the words of that, different scenes of it, just spectacular. But she's written a ton. Here's the things that I can tell you that about her. First of all, she and Dr. McMillan Cottam have a podcast called Here to Slay,
yes.
that's on Luminary, that is just wonderful, fantastic. You absolutely should just pay the fee for Luminary and go listen to them. Mm-hmm. It's just, the conversation is fantastic. The people they bring on are fantastic. The centering of Black women's experience is fantastic. It's all fantastic.
And they're funny.
But I'm going to step away from all the super intellectual stuff here and say, following Roxane Gay on Instagram and watching her stories, where she's constantly posting about baking and cooking, and she is just becoming, you know, more and more of a master baker, and she does all sorts of photos of this and this and this, and how I'm trying to make croissants, and then I made this thing, and especially during the shutdown or the shelter at home, it's just been marvelous. Her explorations of food, the visual, and then her conversation about making it and why she loves a particular cake or how she made something for her fiance that she doesn't really like, but she makes it anyway. I just, you know, if you do anything, go follow her on Instagram so you can watch that, because I think the if you can read all the amazing writing that she does, it's like everywhere.
Well, this week she has an essay, or maybe it was published Friday, maybe last week, but it was in the New York Times. So please do, if you do nothing else. You know that in every crisis, there are a few pieces of writing that kind of emerge that encapsulate the threads of the crisis and pull them together in a way that makes sense at a larger, more 30,000 foot level. And her essay in the New York Times is one of those pieces. So please do check that out.
And I think the title of it was, No One Is Coming to Save Us.
No One Is Coming to Save Us, in the title alone. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but I think that's the thing that I just have so much respect, is her ability to go from writing Bad Feminist and then Hunger and then No One Is Coming to Save Us, and then her work around comic work, not comedic, but comics, and then to be a master baker on top of it.
She also lifts up other writers.
Yeah, she does. Oh,
that's a big project of hers. I know on Medium she organizes. She's an editor of a series on Medium of different writers.
Yeah, my I will tell you that the way I choose fiction books is I go to Roxane Gay's Goodreads reviews, and if they're over 4.5,
those are
the books I buy. So all the books I buy are because she says it's over a 4.5. She picked it. Okay,
yeah,
I'll read it. Right. And some of them are brutal, but just all brilliant. So anyway, continuing on.
Yeah, so continuing on. We could go in a number of directions now, but while we're talking about people who have big platforms, Ijeoma Oluo is a writer who wrote the book So You Want to Talk About Race. And that piece of writing, it's a short and very easily accessible book. It is a book written for white people. Honestly, it's written for white people. And whenever a black author writes something for white people, that is a gift that came out of their fund of energy and life force. And we need to, as white people, not take that for granted and be grateful. And that book is something to be very, very grateful for, because it basically walks you through the way that white people fuck up talking about race all the time and get defensive and this and that and the other thing. And the thing about Ijeoma Oluo is that that book had made a really big splash, and she was on tour for quite a long time. And she even came through Eugene, and right. Eugene is pretty little, so that means she was in a lot of different places. And, you know, and it was she just packed the place. It was standing room only at the library. Hundreds and hundreds of people came out. She was a terrific speaker.
And she's a person who everybody ought to, I mean, I don't know that she has a, well, first of all, she had she was doing a fundraising thing at the very beginning of the pandemic for artists in Seattle where you could donate money, and she was moving it on to make sure that artists who didn't have a backup were being taken care of. And I'm sure she's doing something similar around that. But I think that everybody white who follows her should pay an emotional labor tax, because speaking of that speaking engagement, Eugene, to see somebody stand up there with really challenging issues and put up with a stupid ass questions and maintain, not just like, really? Yeah. And even the people that she cut off, and she did not, you know, she wasn't going to tolerate it. She cut them off in a way that was, I think it takes a toll after a while.
And then she does further writing about the questions she's had to field at the talks about her book. And, you know, she just keeps... Really, it's a gift. And
So what's really interesting to me is that, it's interesting to me. I don't know if it'd be interesting to all of you, but as this has all been, you know, coming up with the protests and uprisings this week and the increasing violence from police and the escalation from Donald Trump, I've had people in my family reaching out saying, look, I don't feel like I know this enough. Can we pick some books and can we work on it together and can we find some workbooks that we can do and we could all do it as a group? Cause I really want to figure this out. And I feel like I don't know how to answer when people start talking about the looting. I don't know how to cut them off and stuff like that. So I said, absolutely sure. And it was my nephew who suggested it. And then there was everybody was passing around lists of anti-racist, this, that, or the other books. And so we decided to pick from two books. One was that book. So you want to talk about race? And the other book was by Leila Saad. I'm assuming it's Saad. It's S-A-A-D. I don't actually haven't heard it. And her book, Me and White Supremacy, which has a workbook. So my sister said, I'd really love to do one with a workbook because it forces you into experiential, you know, engagement rather than just the intellectual. Because I feel like I disassociate in a way I want to be able to practice it in my life. And I said, absolutely. So... the kids, various people, like, okay, cool, we'll do it. And so we went out to try to find those books.
Oh.
They're gone. So you know how you couldn't buy toilet paper at the beginning of the pandemic? Now,
good God.
Thank you, whatever higher power, you can't buy Me and White Supremacy or So You Want to Talk About
That's
Race.
That's really
I called every bookstore in town.
And... feels weird.
Right. So the first bookstore I called, he said, no, I don't have any copies. I can get it for you. And he said, I used to have a bunch. They're all sold out. And I said, oh, isn't that great? And he said, yeah, it's too bad it took this for the people to buy the book.
That's where my mind went. Right. Yeah.
So then I called the other bookstore that I don't like because they have...
Well, they're stupid.
Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of books, and they don't have a computer system.
And they're proud of that fact.
They're proud. So I called them, and he said that he had two, so I bought those two.
Oh, good.
I have to go pick them up. Oh. But
so the bad bookstore has
I'm at the bad bookstore.
That's because it's not digitized.
Still a local independent bookstore.
I know.
No, but
because
he said...
it's not digitized.
No, but listen, there's a point to this. He said that they had a huge stack that they were had up front to send back to the publisher because nobody was buying them, and they're all gone now.
Oy. Oh, so, my Lord.
I know. It's bad and it's good.
No, yeah, so it is. It's like, it's so emblematic of
right
where we're at.
So anyway, I do want to mention her because she's another person that I think that people should absolutely follow.
And she is, and I'm going to spell it, IJEOMAOLUO on Twitter. And may I also say, since you talked about Roxane Gay and her croissants on Instagram, that IJEOMAOLUO loves makeup. Loves makeup. And clothes, but mostly makeup. And I haven't seen her do this recently, to tell you the truth. I think things have gotten a little grim. But have you seen makeup looks recently?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. She's consistently done makeup looks.
Yeah. So just find her on Twitter, and you will find, interspersed with all this brilliance, you will find the most amazing creative makeup looks, experimentations with colors that you've ever seen, and techniques.
And I will be honest, I don't know whether Layla Saad has a Twitter account, and we can try to see if we can find that. But but her book is Me and White Supremacy.
All right. Well, I want to talk about three more women, Black women, who are very much along the lines of what we've been talking about, and very much women that you will encounter in the same kind of crowd on Twitter. And they are in dialogue with one another a lot as well. And the first is Mickey Kendall, who is the author of many books. One of them is called Hood Feminisms. One is called Amazon's Abolitionists and Activists. But beyond just being an author, she's just a thought leader. She's just out in front. She has opinions, and people listen to them. And if you want to just really be educated, I mean, she's an educator. I turn to her when I want to know, and I feel like there's something happening, and I'm, you know, just kind of this suburban white lady who doesn't really know how to think about it, doesn't have the background, doesn't have the knowledge base, I go to Mickey Kendall. You can find her on Twitter at Carnithia, which is spelled Carnythia.
And you were mentioning that there are a number of people that she's in conversation with.
Well, I was then going to mention Brittany Cooper and Kimberly Crenshaw.
Absolutely. I thought that's where you were headed.
But I didn't know if you wanted to say anything else about Mickey Kendall.
No, just a ditto and yes and exclamation points and all that. And I mean, of another person whom you can follow, shut your mouth and read along. You'll get an education. Shut your mouth and read along.
Get educated.
Somebody, I think Tressie said the other day something about these people who have clearly not done the reading. And I just, you know what? If you could just, if all you people, you, and I'm talking, when I'm saying you people, I mean you white people in the academy who are so devoted to being A-plus students and doing the reading and knowing everything, if you could be as A-plus, I've done the reading about this, and then not be in the room going, I've done the reading.
I did the reading. here's my analysis.
I'm going to quietly sit here and have done the reading. Yes. So yes, Brittany Cooper, who is Professor C-R-U-N-K, who wrote Eloquent Rage, Beyond Respectability, and Kimberly Crenshaw, who is Sandy Locks, S-A-N-D-Y-L-O-C-K-S, who is the voice, the
creator
of the whole notion of intersectionality, and does not get cited enough.
Does not get
hashtag
cited enough.
Cite Black women.
Right, exactly.
So, in the land of people writing about the academy and the experience in the academy, I think that we really want to mention Trisha Matthew, who wrote Written Unwritten, and you can follow her at Trisha Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, and it's T-R-I-C-I-A-M-A-T-T-H-E-W on Twitter.
We really like her because her book, Written Unwritten, breaks down why Black women in particular, but women of color, don't get tenure. don't get hired and don't get tenure to the same level as white men in particular, and also white women, mm-hmm. because there are all of these unspoken, unwritten rules and expectations, and so much that comes from racial bias, so much that comes from class positionality mm-hmm. and background that you are just expected to know, also economic privilege and resources that you're just expected to know and to bring forward with you. And if you don't have it, then you're going to be what's the word I'm looking for? You're going to be
you're going to be at a disadvantage.
At a disadvantage. Right. Sorry, that's the word I was looking for. You're going to be disadvantaged, and with real repercussions in terms of not understanding the rules that are applying to you as you go through the tenure track and ending up not getting tenured because you didn't know what was expected. So her book, we really appreciate her very much.
And the other person that I really appreciate, and again, someone who has done so much for me, I always hesitate to say it that way, like done so much for me, like that was the goal of it. Mm-hmm. But I just want to really honor these mm-hmm. people and the work that they're doing and say in a very humble way, I'm mm-hmm. trying to like humble myself before this wisdom to say, thank you. I remember writing to Brittany Packnett years ago before she was Brittany Packnett Cunningham and saying, you are part of my gratitude practice. Like I read you in the day and think, oh, thank you for that education. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that way about Chanda Prescott Weinstein mm-hmm. because she brings so much insight into the experience of being a black woman in the sciences, mm-hmm. in STEM. She's mm-hmm. in astronomy. Mm-hmm. She talks about it. She talks about the leakage of the pipeline. She talks about all of it. And she is just unflinching mm-hmm. in her examination mm-hmm. of it.
So courageous in what she says. In a world, in an academic world where so many people will hide behind pseudonyms and or say, oh, I can't say that because I don't have a job yet. Or, oh, I can't say that because I don't have tenure yet. Chanda is out there saying it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And were you about to say her, where to find her?
Yeah, I was going to say her Twitter handle, which I'm pronouncing phonetically, but it's Ibi Yongi, which is IBJIYONGI. And I also have a tremendous appreciation from her because she also brings in discussions of the complexity of a black Jewish identity, yes. which I also really appreciate that complication and you know, continuing to expand my understanding mm-hmm. of Jews of color.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you've made that point about, oh, I just want to thank you. Thank you so much. If we as white people really want to thank the folks from whom we are learning, we can pay them. A lot of them actually explicitly ask for it. And I'm glad they do. And so they may have a Patreon account, or they may just say periodically, or maybe even have it pinned, a pinned tweet. If you find the work I'm doing valuable, know that it is work. It's labor. Right. And compensate it and send mm-hmm. me some money by Venmo or Cash App. And mm-hmm. I totally, or the Patreon account. And I totally urge you to do that. And there's another thing you can do. If you have it's a similar, it's not a monetary exchange, but raise up these voices, these names,
right.
for especially if you have a platform of your own. But even if you don't, even if you just have a small platform with just your friends and family, bring these names forward.
It's called Amplify Melanated Voices today.
Retweet, and also
it changes the algorithm.
It changes the algorithm. It makes them visible. But also, if they have a book, buy the book. Spend the $10, the $11, or whatever for the book. And then maybe if your book group is looking for a book, put that name forward and say, "Yes, let's do this book." There's actual financial repercussions and career repercussions for people in terms of these kind of social networks and influence networks that black people and black women in particular don't have access to. And so you want to be an ally, do that.
Right. And that goes back to when and if we ever get to be back on campus again and you're inviting people again mm-hmm. and you're doing your syllabus again, making sure that you're continuing to include these discussions in it. Mm-hmm. There's also somebody else that I wanted to mention, and we forgot to mention it back. I'm going to come back to Brittany again because she was really the beginning of my learning so much. But part of that was listening to the podcast, Pod Save the People. So Pod Save America came out. Mm-hmm. And then DeRay McKesson, Brittany, and Clint Smith started doing, and Samuel, and I'm going to say his name incorrectly, my apologies, Sinyongwe, who is Sam Sway on social networking. It's Samsway. And Clint Hill Smith, who just got his PhD. Congratulations, Dr. Smith. Clint Hill Smith III at Clint Hill Smith III, as DeRay always says.
Just Clint Smith.
Oh, sorry. I. Clint Smith.
CLINTSMITHIII.
That's the way DeRay always says it on Pod Save the People. So if you want a podcast to accompany, you know, Tressie and Roxanne Gay's podcast, you know, I've met Tressie, I've talked to her, but I really feel like I should back up and say Dr. McMillan Cottam and Roxanne Gay's podcast, Here to Slay. I would really, really recommend that you listen to Pod Save the People. Mm-hmm. The underreported news they do, the mm-hmm. contextualization, it's, again, right. mind-blowing right. what you don't know.
What you don't know.
Every time I listen to that podcast, I think, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So
I didn't know that all those
that's how I came to understand goodness, all
I
of
didn't,
them.
And I follow them all, but I didn't. I, you know, I'm not a podcast listener, as I often
which is
say.
Always, every time you say that when we're on the podcast, cracks me up.
That I didn't realize that. So as long as we're, or have you said all you wanted to say about that? I was going to go to another name. As long as we're on the theme of men, I want to give a shout out to Ibram X. Kendi, mm-hmm. who is someone I learn from every day mm-hmm. on Twitter in terms of very complex analysis. And in particular, he's on my mind right now because he just has a piece out in The Atlantic, which, by the way, I do want to say that I am finding my subscription to The Atlantic the best single subscription that I have and probably have ever had.
They're doing amazing stuff.
They're doing amazing stuff. And when I heard that they had to let go of 20% of their reporting or their staff this past 2 weeks, I was shocked because it seems like they're just going from the strength to strength, but apparently not, just like all the rest of the journalism outlets. Anyway, so it's just a little shout out that if I really do like The Atlantic. But in any case, he has a piece called The American Nightmare. And that's another one of those that I was going to mention along with Roxanne Gay's piece in New York Times, where it takes you up and out and over to the longer view that you can't necessarily get when you're just being buffeted by this just deluge of bad news on Twitter. Mm-hmm.
And he's also the author of How to Be an Anti-Racist, right?
Yes.
Right. Is it an anti-racist or anti-racist? But yeah, I'll have to look that up to clarify.
And you can find him at Dr. Ibram on Twitter at is DRIBRAM.
I'm pretty sure it is called How to Be an Anti-Racist. Another book that I would venture to guess. No, I know it is. So one of the things that's been really interesting is because I follow a lot of these people on Instagram, mm-hmm. they've been talking about how their books are sold out. So they're all talking about your books are sold out and how Amazon now, mm-hmm. what happened with hand sanitizer in on Amazon when they ran out? Price gouging.
Yeah.
They're price gouging their books on Amazon.
Whoa.
So they're all listing independent places that you might be able to find them.
Fascinating.
I can't quite comprehend the times we're in.
Neither
sometimes.
Can I. I'm bracketing that to freak out about after we stop recording, which I do quite a bit of these days. I can only freak out.
I bracket,
about so
I
many things
my freak out
at
today.
One time.
Right.
All right. So now the names remaining on our list are scholars who are a little bit more closely associated with specific fields or specific, you know, they're operating more within the academic, the professor is in, you know, where we're like, the academy.
Right. Right.
It sucks. And it's racist. So I absolutely love PH Divas.
Mm-hmm. Which, their podcast.
And so I just realized that in my enthusiasm for listing them, I didn't write down their names or their Twitter handles or the name of their podcast. So, although the podcast is actually called
PhD Divas.
So we do know that.
I'll bail you out here a little bit, okay? So
they were the very first people on my list, actually.
So Dr. Liz Wayne and Dr. Christine Yao are the two scholars who do this podcast about academia. Mm-hmm. It's not about academia alone. It's about academia, culture, social justice. They bring in a lot of different people. They talk about all sorts of different ideas. So The other scholars that we wanted to be sure, first of all, they're just, you know, here's the thing. I just want to pause right here. We should have said this at the beginning. So if you've made it this far, This is not an exhaustive list. We're going to miss people. We've been panicking all day long about who we're going to leave out and then look up and say, oh, no.
Right.
And how did we leave this out?
And we forgot to say that for the same reason that we're so panicked about leaving someone out. Because I'll just speak for myself. When I'm under stress, my already abhorrent memory becomes utterly non-functional.
Right.
I go into freeze mode. I don't know what it is. I become like one of those rabbits that's just perfectly still with gigantic wide eyes and quivering nose, and it's like I cannot move right or left or front or back, or I just sit there in a panic state with no memory.
Right.
And that's what happens to me.
Right.
And so we could be like, who knows what we're forgetting? And we forgot to say that we were forgetting.
Right.
I can't
so now we're
we
like,
that.
How many minutes into
like,
this?
Yeah, like people have lost interest.
We're like at 48 minutes into this podcast, and suddenly we're saying, oh, we might have forgotten people. But maybe you're one of those people and you're listening thinking, are they going to mention me?
And if we have forgotten you and you feel like you should have been mentioned, please, 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 please let us know. We love self-promotion. We love proactiveness, and we will do this again. Mm-hmm. And so by all means, get in touch with us and tell us about yourself.
And you know what we'll do when we're pushing this podcast? We will add your name in the promotion.
We can add it. That's right. So let us know. Yeah. Okay, so a few others. Carol Anderson is the author of White Rage and a number of other books. She's an elder statesman amongst Black women academics. I strongly recommend that you follow her. You can find her at Prof. C. Anderson, ProfCanderson, on Twitter.
We want to wrap up with three more scholars who are directly working in the academy and doing work around race that we have just found a lot of knowledge from and want to highlight their work.
So the first one is Dr. Imani Perry, who is the Hughes Roger Professor of African American Studies at Princeton. And she has a book that will be coming out called Breathe, A Letter to My Sons. And actually, that reminds me that some of the great work coming out from Black women scholars is work that bridges their academic. Of course, I haven't read this yet, so I don't know. I can't speak about it, but I think a lot of it does. The title makes me think of work that bridges personal and scholarly analysis. Yeah. And that reminded me of the book we already mentioned, which was Thick by Dr. Tressie McMillan Cottom. So, and I know that's not the only one, although I'm blanking on other titles right now.
Yes. And Imani Perry's Twitter handle is her name, Imaniperry.
Yep.
And next on the list is Ruha Benjamin, who is also at Princeton, an associate professor at Princeton. And she does a lot of work around...
in African-American studies, same department.
Thank you. She does a lot of work about race and technology and really examining all of those. And she also has a work in progress that if you go to her Twitter feed, you'll be able to find the name of. And
It's Black Skin, White Masks, Racism, Vulnerability, and Refuting Black Pathology.
And that's pinned at the top of her feed. You can check that out. Her Twitter handle is RUHA9.
Number nine.
Number nine, right. The number nine. And another, just read along and learn. Mm-hmm. And then certainly, last but certainly not least, is Meredith D. Clark, whose Twitter handle is Tenure Track Hustle, which I love. That's not her handle. Her handle is Meredith D. Clark. Her Twitter name.
Right, right.
Tenure Track Hustle. But she does work around Black Twitter. So she has a book coming out, a book that she's working on that. And she also does a lot of work about diversity in the media. She's a former journalist. She's a professor of media studies
at University of Virginia.
Exactly. And you can catch a broad range of commentary on her Twitter feed as well.
And I really appreciate her because we have given you all of these Twitter handles for a reason. There are a lot of different ways you can access Black excellence and Black writing. And we chose to make it Twitter because that's where you and I both, I think, find the most immediate, up-to-the-moment commentary that we learn from. And so, and knowing and learning, as we both did it at some point some years ago, that there is a thing called Black Twitter. Yes. And then beginning to understand what that means, and then to have Meredith Clark, you know, be writing and from a scholarly perspective about that, mm-hmm. is something that is very, very valuable.
Yes, and I think that one of the most valuable things of all of the people that we've given you, everyone that we've mentioned, I know that what I do, to be honest, is I see something happen in the world, and I have my first reaction to it. And I shut my mouth, mm-hmm. and I go over and I read every one of those people. Mm-hmm. And I say, what do I not know about this complication? Mm-hmm. Why? What? How? I know how I'm reacting about all these pictures of cops kneeling with right. people. It's grating me. Don't know why. Let me go find out why it's bothering mm-hmm. me. Oh, I think this is so sweet and cool. And I've certainly had that. I wish I could think of some of them right now where I'm like, well, that seems good. Oh, the Blackout Tuesday. That seems good.
Right. Me too.
Right? I'll yeah. do that. And then mm-hmm. I go read Brittany Packnett Cunningham, who's saying, wait, this is digital suppression. This mm-hmm. is what we saw happen around the 2016 election with mm-hmm. Black communities. Stop yourselves. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so much information to be gained by going first to those sources so mm-hmm. you can educate yourself about what a well-rounded response would
be. Right. Well, it's a check on whiteness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think of it like that. We will, as white people, we can do all the work. We can traverse all the paths to complicate our understanding and to be an ally and an accomplice and a co-conspirator, which are different names. But in the end, we're always going to come at it from the white perspective that we grew up with in a racist society. And so having that interrupted first is really helpful.
Right. And admitting that you are a white person who grew up in a racist society, so there's no way you're not racist. Mm-hmm. There's no way. And if you can start looking and saying, there's no way. I don't have some of this stuff in me. I've got to go learn. And mm-hmm. It's the Great Unlearn, which is a program that was started by the writer Rachel Cargill. And I don't know her Twitter feed. I follow her on Instagram, but on Instagram, it's rachel.cargle, C-A-R-G-L-E, and that may be the same on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we just wanted to make sure that you got got a full range of people to listen to, and we completely encourage you to go to the followers, the people that these people are following, and look for more people to listen to, because we certainly didn't touch on all of them. So, the hashtag is #AmplifyMelanatedVoices. Thanks a lot.
Bye.